Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast. And your host, Michael Michelini.
Hope everybody listening today, both inside and outside of China, is having a fantastic day. I am enjoying a great one myself. So today, we're going to try a new format, and I think it's going to be a bit of a fun one for you guys to listen to. We have some questions from listeners and people around the internet that have been sending me messages over the past couple of months. And I brought along my friend Adrian Bai to the show today. He and I have gotten to know each other quite well over the past 8 months as he's relocated right into central China. So he and I will read out some questions and try our best to answer them. So I hope you guys enjoy this, and let's just dive right in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to a China Business Cast. This is the first try with our Q&A series. We have with us Adrian Bai. Thanks for being here, Adrian.
Thanks for having me to assist on the call.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be a regular thing. I like the idea of taking some questions and from listeners and around the web and about what they're asking us and try our best to give them some answers. So maybe quickly, you want to give us some introduction of you, Adrian?
Sure. I'm originally from Australia. I now live in central China. I live beside Wudang Mountain in Hubei province. Wudang Mountain is the sacred mountain of Chinese Taoism. And I have an internet connection in the place where I'm living, and I can usually get to the internet fairly well. I've lived in the Caribbean for 10 years, and so I'm pretty used to working in an offshore environment and dealing with the entertaining things that third world countries bring us. And I've been doing internet marketing since 2001. I don't speak Chinese, but I'm certainly living in central China. I'm really exposed to it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's been great. We've been in touch since your early stages of moving to China, and I'm glad to have you on with us. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you helped me a lot. So, and that's actually ties into our first question. So I want to publicly thank you for your help with moving here. Everything would have fallen apart, I think, without your help. So thank you.
I love doing it, right? So I'm glad I helped. So yeah, like you said, this is our first question, and I think it is related to our how we got to know each other. So this is from Berman in Miami, Florida, and he sent an email that I plan to make my first trip to China late this summer and want to know if you can recommend Chinese translator for hire. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, so for me, I'd been to China before, and I knew that this was going to be an issue because once you're here, you can't get around, right? If you don't speak the language, you can't even catch a taxi because the taxi drivers don't speak the language. And so I knew I needed at least one translator. I was actually even looking to hire a couple. What I found when I started to do this was looking online was that the ones that I was finding on Odesk, or now called Upwork, were charging something like $16 an hour plus. And they weren't always that good. In fact, one I hired for a while tried to steal from me by putting in hours that she didn't actually work. And so I asked Mike, I was like, dude, can you help me with this? And he introduced me to Cindy. Cindy has on her profile on, I think it's Facebook or on Skype or somewhere, it says saving lives. That's her bio. And I think that's correct. And I can tell you some stories, and I will in a minute, but Cindy was absolutely fantastic and made my crash landing in China sane, because she helped protect me and helped me navigate so many issues. It was absolutely incredible. You've known Cindy for a long time, right?
Yeah, for years. We met on Sino Weibo, actually, and she lives down here in Shenzhen with me. And yeah, she's really has a really good heart. She's originally from Wenzhou City in Zhejiang province. And she's done a lot of working with international business for import-export, and she kind of knows the Western thinking and expectations, and is really good at communication, I think, and she gets stuff done. So it's definitely an amazing person. So yeah, I mean, of course, Cindy is somebody we should recommend. She's pretty busy. Of course, I don't know if she could take too many clients, but yeah, I try to help, you know, find more people like Cindy. And it's true, right? The Upwork is I also had the same experience, because I actually do use I still like to call it Odesk, but I like to use that for a lot of projects online personally. But it's still not seemingly perfect in China. I think it's also the payment thing, because I think it still only does like Western or PayPal payments. So
they can use it, but yeah, it's not as good. And so actually, I'm in an unusual situation because I'm in central China, where 99% of people don't speak English. I have to have an assistant around to get anything done. But I'm in a very little town, and there's the tiers of the cities, right? So Beijing and Shanghai are tier one cities. What would Shenzhen be, like a tier three city?
I think it's tier two. I think it's the fourth now, after Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and then Shenzhen. So I think it's like top tier two.
Yeah. So mine would be like where I'm living now would be like a tier 10 city, if that even exists. there's like 60,000 to 80,000 people here. I mean, walking around the streets, this is where little kids, they don't wear nappies here, so they just the parents hold them up and they poop on the street. I mean, I've even seen them doing that in the supermarket. But so one of the issues where I am is hiring a local assistant here is actually quite difficult, because there aren't that many people locally that speak English. What I have found, however, is that on the site 58.com, which is the Chinese version of Craigslist, you can hire basically unlimited numbers of assistants that speak reasonably good English from the bigger cities. So nearer to me is a city called Xi'an, Shiyan. I am not talking about the other Xi'an, which is Xian, and the names are pronounced differently. Yeah. I don't know how to do it.
Xi'an. Yeah, Xi is west and on is like safety. Okay. So yeah, it's Xi'an is west safe place.
Yeah, so you, as a listener, you're probably far more likely to go to Xian, that's where the Terracotta Warriors are, than the Xi'an that's Xi'an an hour warriors. Away from me. However, this is a city, Xi'an is, it would probably be, I don't know, a tier 4 or tier 5 city. There's something like 3 million people there, I think, so it's still pretty small by China standards, but I can get a lot of English speaking assistance from there. So this is another way. Now, you can only post in 58.com in Chinese, and actually it also restricts you to the city that you're or the region that you're in. So you probably need to have someone locally, like here in Hubei province. If you want to hire in Hubei, then that's how you'd have to do it. But that's at least another, you can get a fairly large quantity of English speaking assistants, and the rates will be quite low if you do it that way. The other thing is that they are absolutely love working with foreigners, and so for you as a foreigner, if you find the right person, it's a real prize for them to have the opportunity to work with you. I think that may not apply in the tier one and tier two cities, but out here in the tier 10 cities where where I am, that's actually quite a big deal.
True. Yeah, I mean, I guess, of course, there's these job sites like 58.com, which I think is like Craigslist style, right? Like classified ad kind of site.
Right.
Then there's 51job. Which is all Chinese too, and I know a lot of people, that's kind of like one of the most popular. I think there's ChinaHR.com, which is, I believe, Monster.com has a joint venture with them, if I'm correct on that. Don't want to be quoted, but that's another big one that's everywhere. But sometimes the issue with these sites is it's just too much volume. Like, I don't know, you got to filter through a lot of volume, because sometimes there's, I guess these job hunters are just mass applying to everything.
I haven't found it too terrible. What's been happening, and I mean, I'm not very efficient with it, but the leads come in, I get some messages either in email or to my cell phone. And I like, because I'm not writing the ads, you know, I haven't tried to do it in a very organized way, but basically I can let it run for a few days and get 10 or 15 leads, and then I can send them all a text message, and I just write to them in English and say, hey, if you are interested in a job, come and talk to me. And then the ones that are serious will then come back to me, and then I then add them on WeChat, and and so on. Now, if you're not in China, you can still get WeChat, so you can do that part. I don't know how you do the text messaging part, but my guess is you could probably have them reply to email and start them off on email, although, of course, China is the mobile country and not the email country.
Yeah, they skipped email, I think, here.
Yeah.
So,
but also that's a kind of a good test, right? Because the ones that you want to have as your assistant, they need to have some comprehension of how things work in the West. And if they're not even able, or if they're not even very good with email, like there's a lot of people out here that only check email once a month. If they're someone like that, they're probably not the right person to be your assistant.
Yep, totally agree. Okay, any other things we should add, do you think, for this question?
For payments, how to get money to them, if you're coming from the outside, that's going to be harder. But I can tell you one thing that's been a breakthrough for me. So I'm going to assume that you've got a Chinese bank account. So a big breakthrough for me for payments is using WeChat. WeChat Wallet is the payments network for WeChat. And it basically lets you send money to other people who are on WeChat, which is the same as
WhatsApp.
So it's the Chinese version of that. And it lets you do transfers of, you know, I think almost any amount of money to people very easily. And the advantage is it is a little bit hard to get set up because when I was setting it up, there's some bugs that required you to convert it in the app into Chinese, enable wallet, and then convert it back into English, and then it would all mysteriously work. It actually didn't work without that. But once you do have it working, you can send money in English very quickly and very easily. And so I've sent as little as 1 RMB to people, but I've also paid my rent 1 year in advance through it. And so WeChat payments works really, really great. The online banking in China tends to be all in Chinese and can be hard to use, whereas WeChat makes life very easy. So in terms of paying your virtual assistant, I would strongly recommend WeChat Wallet if you can get that working.
True. Yeah, it is pretty amazing, actually. Like, I was speaking at an event over the weekend, and I brought some of my books, those Destination China books I printed out, and after I sold them, and people didn't have change or cash, and I was receiving WeChat money like on my phone and then giving them a book. It was awesome, actually. And it's really fast. People just add you as a friend, and then they go to a mobile wallet, and then they send, and then you get a message to confirm. You click confirm, and then it's in your WeChat bank. So it's definitely pretty awesome.
And then, of course, you can withdraw that money. It's a little bit like PayPal. You just withdraw it to your bank account. And so you can withdraw it, or you can keep it as a balance within the system. And then you connect your bank account just like you would with PayPal. And it's a bit of a hassle to set it up. But once it's set up, life's really quite easy.
Yeah, it's true. And I still can't believe you paid a year up front for your apartment. But I guess it can take any volume of money. I don't usually send big money, but I guess it can handle it if you wanted to, right? So
yeah, I mean it was, I prefer using it to. I don't use my China Merchants Bank. I don't use the online banking anymore because it's just such a hassle because I have to do it all in Chinese. WeChat lets me stay doing it all in English, and so I'm sending a package right now to the US, and there's been some problems. The amount was supposed to be 300 RMB to send it. The package has been shipped to Shanghai, and my assistants come back and told me that the shipping company realized that they didn't charge enough and they need an extra 95 RMB to ship it to the US. So it was something like that. And so I sent her the 95 RMB by WeChat, and then she then sent it on with Alipay onto the company. They've actually come back again today and said they need another 60 RMB to send it because there are some problems with customs. And so I've then gone and sent her another 60 RMB so that it gets shipped. But so I don't have to go and see her and talk to her and all of this stuff. She's just letting me know on WeChat what's going on, and she's taking care of the back and forth. You know, am I excited about sending, you know, an extra 150 RMB to send this package? No, but you know, these are the sorts of things that happen, and you can lose more time by having it sent back and then reshipping it than you would by dealing with it. So WeChat just makes that stuff very easy in working with your assistant. So WeChat, the app, is highly recommended, as is the wallet.
Definitely. Okay, so hopefully it gives some people some ideas for finding an assistant here in China. And I guess if they want to find, if they want us to help them find someone here, I guess they can send us an email, and we'll see if we can connect them up with the right person. Adrian, what do you think?
Yeah, you can take that. And also, I mean, more importantly, but, you know, certainly that we can help with. But more importantly, questions like this that you want to know about, please send those in. And Michael, put the email address or however you can contact us for questions so that we can answer other questions on China stuff.
Okay, great. And we have one more question today, right? So let's go to that one.
All right.
It's a few questions from one person, which I guess we can accept because, you know, we want to hear from everybody. So this is from Steve in Colorado, and he says, how to best market or advertise both the website and the app to get any quote-unquote play in China? There seems to be no Facebook, and Weibo is all in Chinese. How do American companies push their products, a partner in China? If there is no way for us to quote-unquote cooperate, as you mentioned, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts and believe he has a library of videos that he's trying to market. So he sends us a link to his videos. Thanks again. Which are on YouTube. That's really funny, right? And I look forward to hearing from you.
Well, do you want to start on that one?
Sure. I guess basically China is its own world in every kind of dimension, I think, right? Like both physically and in the internet. So, you know, I think you have to adapt to the way China does business if you want to tap into the market here. So, unfortunately, there's no cheap way to do this. There's no, like, you know, you can't, that I know of, that you can just plug in and start getting money from Chinese buyers. So I think you're gonna have to find someone that that knows how to speak Chinese and type Chinese to localize your information into Chinese language. Maybe you don't have to invest 100% into all of your products and services, but maybe at least make a simple one-page brochure that could be put into a website and get someone to help you set up your social media accounts. And then, yeah, of course, Facebook's blocked here. I guess I'm used to that. It happened in 2009. So basically, like every Western...
As is YouTube.
Yeah, basically anything that's social media that's not in not made in China is not accessible here. And so you just basically have to play by the rules here. And nobody has... Except foreigners, you know, nobody else really bothers to get around the blocking. So if you want real Chinese people to see it, you gotta basically be on Weibo, and there's WeChat we talked about earlier, and all these platforms. So yeah, it's a big question. It's a huge question. So he's also talking about a Chinese partner. Whether a Chinese partner, I think the word partner is a pretty open-ended question. That could be. I think you need somebody here that's on your side, whether it's a consultant or a service provider or an equity partner, or at least like a Chinese assistant, which we had just talked about, at least a Chinese assistant, but somebody has to be in, I believe, in China to really have any effect. So I hope this helps. I know it's not the easiest answer, but you're going to have to spend some time and some probably money or at least a lot of time in doing this.
Let me take a crack at it from a different point of view.
Okay.
Because for someone sitting out in the States, like, I think that's the only way. I'm looking at how can I do this myself from inside China, and so maybe this will give you sort of some understanding of why Michael's giving you the answer that he did. So I'm going to be launching a site that I intend to be in both English and in Chinese, and I intend to do this social media marketing that Michael's talking about. And I don't speak Chinese, so I don't have a good understanding of how all these things work. Weibo is the Chinese Twitter, and it works almost the same, but it's different. You know, there's a chat interface built in and some other things built in. It takes time to get your head around how these different apps work. The most volume out here comes from WeChat, and so there's no Facebook. However, there is WeChat, which has something like think of it as like a dumb version of the Facebook wall, and I think it's going to become more of a Facebook wall in time. They have the ability to do a little bit like email newsletters inside WeChat, and you know, it's something you need to just use to get experience with, but it works. And I mean, I have a friend here in China who's doing an information marketing business, and it's really inspiring to watch the views on his new weekly newsletter when it gets sent out. He sends it out every Friday, and the I follow the English language newsletters, and they only get a few hundred views, and WeChat includes the view counter, so I see them, and I go back and check, and you know, there'll be some that'll get it. They'll get 1,000 or something like that, but the average is a couple hundred. Whereas this guy with his Chinese language thing, he's getting 100,000 plus views every time, and it actually breaks the WeChat counter. And he tells me that, in fact, he actually gets something like 170,000 plus views when he sends it out. So that's the kind of traffic that – and that's even – I would consider that just to be a start, because this is a really big country. There's 1.4 billion people here, and they do a hell of a lot of stuff on their mobile apps. And so I would take any sort of view count that you think and think of in Western social media and multiply it by 5 before you start to get more real numbers in China. But there's the problem is that you have to understand how the apps work, and then you have to understand how to deal with the language barriers. And so the sort of things that I'm dealing with I've got to be able to run my site in both English and Chinese. It has to be accessible to both sides of the firewall, which is probably a separate conversation in itself of how to make sure that it can be accessible on both sides. All of the video hosting, you on the West, you need your videos on YouTube, but in China, you need to have them on Youku. And so you need to have everything working on both sides. And then how do you keep the translations up to date and all this sort of stuff? It's non-trivial stuff. That's a sort of a hairy problem that I'm really going deeply into, because I think it's really important, but it's not something that you want to take on lightly.
Yeah, so I think we can give a plug for our friend Shlomo. He has a service called appinchina.co. So he's helping Western companies list their apps in China, like localizing it and getting into the app stores. So he has a pretty standardized service that you can consider. And he has a few different packages of prices, so you should maybe check that out. That's mobile only. But actually, maybe it's also Westerners still are stuck in websites, but I think we mentioned about email earlier. I think Chinese kind of have moved past websites and laptops and are heavily on mobile now. So maybe listeners don't need to really worry about websites too much and just focus on social media and like maybe an app or app friendly like landing page.
Yeah, well, as a website, it would have to be mobile friendly. Of that, there's no question on that.
Yep. Well, I'm trying to think. I feel like we're probably overwhelming them, but I think start slowly, but try to get probably, I guess if I was to start right now in mid-2015, I would focus on WeChat, even just making a personal account and making it look like a company account. You know, you could have your logo as your company if you don't want to use your personal name. But still, I feel like if I was in Colorado and I didn't know anybody in China, I don't know how I would really start, because
you'd want to make sure you have stuff that can sell, and then you'd want to get a partner and either pay them up front or put them on a commission deal to help market your stuff, and you'd consider them as your local distribution salesperson. And the way, if it would be like if you're getting distribution for a product in another country, like, you know, this is, it would be the same thing, and you've got to make sure that they're motivated to do it. And then, you know, there's all the issues of dealing with a very, very different culture and how business is handled. I mean, you've got to remember China's a developing country, and so things that can go wrong will.
True. That's good advice. So maybe also, I know it's a big trip, but that's how I started. I was doing a little bit remotely. I think I was up late on Skype and Alibaba, but I had to make a trip out here to really understand what was happening. And after that, I ended up living here. But maybe at least try to take a trip when you get if you're really serious about China, at least to get an idea, maybe line up some meetings with some people or try to pick a trade show event that's relevant to your industry to come to.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, everything here, it's crazy and different. I mean, where I am, it's, you know, I'm in the middle of nowhere, and so people even use, you know, squat toilets of the way here. But, you know, if you're in the major cities where Michael is, it's a pretty normal Western lifestyle, and it's normal stuff. But a lot of it's just really interesting.
Yep. Yeah, it's just totally – everything is just totally – different. And I still, even though it's been almost 7 years for me, I still get a kick out of it. And yeah, it doesn't get boring. That's for sure.
It does.
I guess that's the nice way of saying it, but it won't get boring. Okay. Well, I think that, you know, maybe we'll have a future episodes. If people have questions, we could we could delve into that deeper, but I hope that gave some people a basic idea of what they need for those questions. And, you know, I think the best way is if there's more questions that came from these answers, send them our way and just keep interacting with us, right, Adrian?
Yeah, send in questions and the good questions, you know, ask whatever you want and we'll do our best to answer them.
Cool. All right. And then that's a wrap. So thanks, Adrian, for coming on and well, let's keep these going.
Thank you for listening.
So there you have it, our first listener questions podcast episode. If you have a question that you want to leave us, go ahead and go to chinabusinesscast.com/question and leave a voicemail. The voicemails would be better because then we could actually play your message and the show and then answer it. So it's a little bit more fun than us reading it. If you're a little bit shy, we can still accept emails or text forms. But check out chinabusinesscast.com/question and there you will find all the ways to send them to us, and we will have future shows like this. So please, also, this is a listener-driven podcast. We really appreciate all feedback from everyone. So if you go ahead and listen in the future and send us notes and feedback, we will definitely take that into account. So till next time, everybody, enjoy your China business domination. Take care, and this is us signing off. Bye-bye.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.